Radio.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to Raider Nation Radio. It's the morning tailgate here on this Friday. We made it to the end of the week. The big game. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you here in the Las Vegas studios. 702-365-9200 is the number to reach us here on both the text line and the phone number, as well as up on X at RNR 920 AM. 7:30, we'll do a little four down territory. We'll also talk to former Eagle DB Mark McMillan. Grillin' McMillan joins us at 8 o'clock. He's live out of Philadelphia. We'll talk about that at 8, as well as at 9 o'clock, Chris Thomas from Fusion Odyssey, former Super Bowl champion. He joins us at 9. And Ash the Attorney, Street Legal, 9:45 today here on Raider Nation Radio from Sam and Ash Injury Law. And keep listening for your chance to win the big enchilada, the four-day, three-night excursion over to Liverpool, England to see the home of the Beatles. It's part of our Summer of Fun, brought to you by the Summer of Fun sponsor. It's Planet Nissan. All you got to do is just hit 702-365-9200. We'll give you the word of the day in about 10 minutes. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you. And a busy sports night last night, as finally the Lakers got it done, Vinny. They finally inked the deal with J.J. Redick to be their new head coach.
Yeah, and I see all the hot takes. It's not going to work. It's going to work. Nobody knows whether it's going to work or not. There's a lot that's going to play into that. First and foremost, talent. I look at this as you know, there's two things that the Lakers are trying to accomplish here. Number one is to maximize, the LeBron James Anthony Davis window, which is probably going to be about another 2 years. I can't see that LeBron's going to be around here beyond 2 years. So try to maximize that, but also get a plan in place to deal with the LeBron aftermath. That's development. That's drafting. That's, you know, maybe grooming a young coach like a J.J. Redick to be the long-range answer. There's people in that organization who feel that he's got some of the qualities that a Spoelstra had, with Miami when they elevated him to the head coach, Pat Riley, years ago with the Lakers. I'm not buying the inexperience aspect. Is it a concern? Is it a component of it? Yeah, obviously. It is. He's never coached at any level other than coaching his son's youth team. But I've seen too many examples of that working over the years. Steve Kerr never coached a game at any level before taking over the Golden State Warriors. If he was a general manager of the Phoenix Suns, it didn't work out. He completely changed what D'Antoni was trying to do, if you remember correctly. Went to a more power-oriented team, training for Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out as a general manager. He had a choice, and he made the right choice, obviously. Phil Jackson wanted him to coach the Knicks when Phil Jackson took over the Knicks.
But he was involved with the inner workings of a team, and he was around a team, each and every day.
And he didn't do a good job at it.
No, but, and it was surprisingly because Mark Jackson had won 52 games the year before.
Yeah. Didn't coach a game at any level before taking over the Warriors.
And he
replaced
him.
Doc Rivers didn't coach one game before taking over the Orlando Magic. He literally went from player to TNT. It's the exact same path that J.J. has taken. Ended his career in 1996, was a analyst for TNT for 3 years. Then he became the head coach of the Orlando Magic, was a coach of the year in 2000. In 2008, he won a championship with the Boston Celtics. There's examples of it not working. There's examples of it working. When you play 15 years in the NBA, when you play under the coaches that J.J. Redick did, when you are in various different locker rooms, when you're somebody, and I personally saw this, I covered J.J. when he was with the Clippers, he was somebody that was in a volatile locker room. That Clipper locker room was walking on field mines. There were so many egos in that locker room. Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, they didn't really get along. It was very volatile.
There would be breakdowns during the game at critical moments, fighting and people just kind of not communicating with each other.
And JJ was one of those guys that got along with everybody, and he was a respected part of that team and a leader on that team. So here's my thing is he's got all the qualities that you look for in terms of the basketball intelligence, the basketball IQ. He's been around the game long enough that I think he knows, does he know the entire learning curve of being a head coach? No, and it's going to be on him to surround himself with an experienced staff, which I fully expect him to do. But to say that it's not going to work because he doesn't have experience, there's too many examples of it actually working.
Oh, but he's got so much talent on this team. Like, he should have some leeway here to, like, it's not like an expansion team he's working with.
No, I was listening to a Laker podcast, and they were saying, if I was him, I would have taken the Detroit Pistons. You know, first of all, the Pistons, they're like coming off a historically bad season. It's a long way to go in Detroit. And I guess they were saying, you know, there's such a low bar there. And people like J.J. Redick, or, you know, maybe he would have accepted that if the Laker offer wasn't on the table. But don't you want to try to be part of something that could potentially be great, or accept all the pressure of the kind of high wire act that he's going to be, part of with the Lakers? Trying to bridge this gap. Like that's a loser's mentality to go, I'd rather go to the easier job.
But that's not an easier job. That Pistons job is an absolute wasteland. And it's like, you'll probably get bounced out after 2 years. And then can you ever, recover after that? At least with this, you have support around you to get the job done.
If you're taking a job, if your notion of taking a job is because the bar is way lower, what are you even doing in life that would even be a consideration? I want to go where the bar is the highest. I want to be challenged. I want that pressure. I want to be tested in that kind of way. The great ones are. So
the Pistons over the last 5 years, 94 and 290.
Yeah. How many coaches have they gone through? Van Gundy, Monty Williams, who I totally respect, Monty, and I thought he got, obviously he's going to make $65 million, so you can't complain about that. But on some level, he got done wrong. You know, he went in there going, okay, I'm gonna take over this massive rebuild and be part of this. They gave him a 6-year contract, and obviously the money reflected that. But after a year, he gets shown the door. That's crazy.
Even Dwayne Casey, who's had a pretty good track record, like blown out,
right?
Like it was just a total mess in Detroit, and continues to be
right. And I do believe that the Lakers have talent. I feel like they're, is it their time? Probably not. But you have one more real opportunity over these next 2 years with the greatest, arguably the second best player to ever play the game, in LeBron James, and a great young player, obviously still fairly young, in Anthony Davis. You know, when I watched the Lakers, what always used to just drive me nuts was, especially against the really good teams, they would be really competitive up until the last 4 minutes of a game, and things just, especially it was uncanny how it would happen against the Denver Nuggets. And the Denver Nuggets would take it to another gear, and a lot of it was scheme and just connectivity. And I felt like I really respect Mike Malone as their coach, somebody that they had an edge on the sideline. Whereas the Lakers, I felt like Devin or Darvin Ham just didn't give them that edge. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, J.J. Redick has a chance to give the Lakers a real edge in terms of the X's and O's. Now, the big issue for him is, can he teach? Can he communicate? Can he command a room? Can he navigate all the various egos that are always involved, especially on this type of a team with your LeBrons and your Anthony Davises and young players that want their playing time? Can he develop? Can he surround himself with the correct kind of staff? But to your point, he does have talent. This is a team that went to the NBA or the Western Conference Finals just last season. So we'll see where it all goes. But my good friend Bill Plaschke in Los Angeles, the great columnist, he's already written that it's a bad hire. And it's like, and I know Bill enough to know that if it works out, he'll be the first to write the article, I was completely wrong. He's done that before. And so I know as a columnist, you got to have your take, you got to put it out there. But the fact of the matter is, nobody knows if this is going to work out or not. And to say definitively one way or another that it will or that it won't is a fool's errand. We just don't know.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN spoke about this on SportsCenter. Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy with the call. Some big sacks by Max here on Raider Nation Radio. All right, here's your time. Make sure you text it in. Send the word SPEEDO, S-P-E-D, S-P-E-E-D-O, SPEEDO to 702-365-9200. That's your word of the day. That's the word that qualifies you for the Summer of Fun contest brought to you by Planet Nissan, 4-day, 3-night trip to Liverpool, England. And if you can't make it, you get hooked up with a $3,000 payout. Brought to you by Planet Nissan, 702-365-9200. Send the word Speedo in, and you qualify for the summer of fun. This week's grand prize drawing. Heading to England, heading to Liverpool. It's all part of our summer fun. We got a whole summer of great destinations for you. My God, it's going to be awesome. So keep listening right here for your keywords of the day. Today, Speedo, the banana hammock, right here on Raider Nation Radio. Time for a little first down.
First down, and it's first and 10, Las Vegas.
All right. The aforementioned NFL.com list of the top 10 holes in the rosters. And how does that affect the Raiders? They go around the league. They take a look at teams that have major holes in their rosters and major concerns. Well, three of them happen to be on the Raiders' schedule. Let's get to it. The first one, number seven on their list, is the Miami Dolphins. They say, and when you start taking a look at it on paper, you're like, okay, there are some problems here on their offensive line. They had season-ending injuries to Connor Williams, but the guys that they got in to replace are not what you would think that would be the high-profile offensive linemen that you would want in a Mike McDaniel system. Not only do they have Aaron Brewer in free agency, but the guard situation is a little worrisome. Robert Hunt and Isaiah Wynn. Can you believe that Isaiah Wynn is going to be trusted at the left guard position? And right behind him is former Raider Lester Cotton. This offensive line for the Miami Dolphins seems a little, I don't know, spotty at best. That when you have to go and protect the investment that you want, like Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle to get the ball, and Tyreek Hill to get the ball, both being paid nearly $30 million plus, if your offense is what makes this team go, you need a better offensive line. I would figure that they would have something a little stronger in the take. How can the Raiders take advantage of that?
Well, first of all, who do the Raiders have from the Miami Dolphins that's playing defensive tackle?
Christian Wilkins.
Yes. You think the Miami Dolphins really wanted to lose Christian Wilkins?
No, they
didn't.
Why
do you think they did?
You know, because they couldn't afford him.
So it's the same exact thing on their offensive line. You know, we're looking at this offensive line and kind of scratching our head a little bit, but it is indicative of where they were financially in terms of the salary cap, and they had to kind of, you know, scrape the bottom of the barrel and hope that a couple of those guys that they got at bargain basement, you know, contracts are going to be able to, you know, help them get through this season. And I think that the offensive line is something that they're going to have to, address at a later date in a bigger way, whether that's through the draft or, you know, free agency down the line. Ideally, it's through the draft. That's the best way to go about doing it. And, you know, we're going to go through this and talk about a couple of other teams that are on the the Raiders roster, or excuse me, Raiders schedule. But I think if you go from team to team, including the Raiders, you know, we're not quite sure what's going to happen at that cornerback spot opposite Jack Jones. There's the hope that Thayer Munford is going to seize the right tackle position and run with it. But all of these issues that teams have are indicative of you're not going to be able to be dominant or even, you know, above average at every single positional group because of the way the finances work and also the available talent. People are like, oh, you know, the Raiders should go out and pick somebody up in free agency at cornerback. Well, who you know, guarantees that they're going to be better than what they already have? There was a general manager the other day who told me, you know, you always have to be wary of name, but where's the game?
He might have a name. Where is that game, right?
He might have a name, but is the game still there?
Yeah, even think last year, as speculative as people felt the Raiders' offensive line was and looking for a right tackle, Isaiah Wynn had played in the Patriots system. McDaniels knew plenty about him. So did Ziegler. They wanted nothing about it. They did not even pursue that at all in free agency.
Well, the clear example is Marcus Peters' name.
Okay, there's a good one.
Didn't have
a
game. Mm-hmm. The game wasn't there anymore. So when you see some of these names that are out there and you're just like, You're falling for that name. The bigger question is, yeah, but is the game still in line with the name? So, and I'm sure the Miami Dolphins went through the entire list, and there's some guys that probably were, you know, outpriced just because of where they were financially. But at some point, you just kind of have to make do. But yes, you know, and when do the Raiders play them? Is it November? Right, November 17th, I think.
Yeah, so it's a perfect match. You know, we can get a Miami game in November.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No question. no question about it, because you're not dealing with that humidity. Here's the thing. By then, we'll know. Did this work for the Miami Dolphins, or is it still something that they're struggling with. And if they're struggling with, that plays right into the hands of the Raiders, who are going to have, barring injuries, of course, who are going to have what looks like a dominant defensive line. So that is an area that going into Miami, the Raiders might be able to really exploit.
Could be. And as you said, like the best remaining cornerback, you know, there's a lot of names there. Who doesn't like, you know, Stephon Gilmore, right? You know, Patrick Peterson, J.C. Jackson's names, you know, Adoree Jackson, Xavier Howard. You know, there will be a time.
You can take Xavier off that list.
Yeah. Yeah, with the
he's names, got some issues going on.
Names you know, but not necessarily yet. But like you said, is the game still there?
Right. Yeah, and I think that somebody like Stephon Gilmore, you know, probably has still a little juice left in or gas left.
Oh, sure. Once camp hits and guys start getting hurt on other teams, that'll become real.
Yeah,
and I'm sure there's some deals where they feel like, hey, I'm just waiting for that moment for the push the button, and then I'll show up.
Exactly. But the big question for the Raiders is, all right, even with the name Stephon Gilmore, where is he in terms of the level of play? Mm-hmm. And is that decidedly better than one of our young guys? You know, this is obviously Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce asking this question. Is he better than what we have decidedly? Because if it's kind of close, then you'd rather not stunt the development of a DeCamrion Richardson or a Jacorian Bennett if it's close, because those guys represent the future, whereas a guy like Gilmore might give you the same level of play, but what's being lost in the process? Are you losing out on some valuable development time?
That's a real thing.
Going with the veteran, yeah.
Yeah, because you could find that you're regressing somebody's learning curve or ability to be on the field and get meaningful reps, and that looks, and you're holding people back sometimes,
right,
for
exactly.
What you think might be the good solution instead of what might be potentially the best
sure,
long term.
Sure.
Second down.
Play action on second and 12.
Here's another one. They brought up as the Raiders' opponents, and a list from the NFL.com of biggest roster holes by team, and a top 10 list. We went from 7, now we're down to 3, and that's the Chargers. They feel that the wide receiver position is woefully deficient for the Chargers. And it's funny because we just saw how this week Ladd McConkey more or less got paid his rookie deal. Mm-hmm. You know, they finally got inked that deal out. But so you got rookie Ladd McConkey, you got you know, Josh Palmer, who has missed time over the years. They're still hoping for Quentin Johnson to hit. So Justin Herbert doesn't necessarily have like the crazy arsenal of weapons that you would normally expect from a Charger team. So Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnson, rookie Ladd McConkey, and then it's DJ Chark. Oh, God. Brendan Rice, another rookie. And of course, you got the tight ends, Will Disley and Hayden Hurst. But wide receiver alone, all right, that's going to be a real prove-it year for can these guys kind of rise to the level where Justin Herbert's at? Because, you know, as smash mouth as Jim Harbaugh wants to get, they have to have weapons downfield that can find separation. That's hard for some rookies to do.
Yeah, and there's still hope in Los Angeles for Quentin, right? He was a first-round pick last year.
He could be great.
Yeah, it could be. Mm-hmm. Palmer, if he stays on the field, I'm bullish on McConkey. Also, what you're counting on, you know, somebody like if you're the coach there and the general manager there, is that how much does Justin Herbert elevate some of these guys, right? So
that's what I was thinking too. Like, he can make people look really good,
right?
Because there were other guys there over the years that weren't you know, major playmakers when either Mike Williams or Keenan Allen went down, but he made them look great. You know, DeAndre Carter was also one of those guys.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Who could fill in a pinch for injured players, and he had a spectacular year in 2022.
Yeah, so you know, on paper, it looks like a problem potentially for the Chargers, but because you have such a good quarterback, is he going to, like we talked about, is he going to be able to help mitigate that problem just by being as good as he can possibly be, and getting the ball where it needs to be, and which he does very well, and would that soften the blow, or at the end of the year, are we relooking at this situation, going, you know, it wasn't that bad, and probably because they have a really good quarterback.
Third down.
It'll be third down and 6 for the Raiders.
October 13th, Steelers at the Raiders. Yeah, but the Steelers happen to post the number 2 spot on the top 10 concern list on roster holes, and it's their wide receiver position too. George Pickens, Roman Wilson, you feel like as good as the talent can be, and it's always been a very solid team in Pittsburgh, but for a new quarterback to go into a system, does he have the weapons that he needs? Russell Wilson will be looking at a wide receiver room. And I don't know if you have necessarily the big-time burners and the other guys that you necessarily need. I would almost hazard a guess that this wide receiver room looks about as equal to or perhaps a little less than what he had in Denver last year.
Well, I like Pickens a lot. And I think a guy like Pickens, if you injected some truth serum into the old veins, he would be like, was it me or was it these quarterbacks that I've been playing with? I mean, the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh has been pretty bleak since Big Ben left. They've still been able to figure out ways to win games. They made the playoffs miraculously last year. So,
but Pickett was a limited guy. I don't think it was offensive coordinators.
He's not very good.
He just couldn't get the ball downfield and accurate or fast or quick enough. It just was a combination of a lot of things that you just don't want to see anymore.
Right. So you know if you're the Steelers, you're hoping that a Russell Wilson is going to be able to help elevate that positional group. I just don't think we've ever really seen the potential of some of the players that they have. And I really do like Wilson, the young wide receiver from Michigan, because you're getting better play from your quarterback, Russell Wilson, now. So we'll see. It's you know, when you look at the Steelers, it's probably going to be more of a ground attack, play really good defense, hope that Russell Wilson can get the most out of the wide receivers that they do have on the roster. But, you know, I don't think that offense is going to necessarily win the day in Pittsburgh, but they definitely need to be better, without question.
They need to be better, but how does this affect the Raiders? Because you see how a cornerback room and a secondary could maybe feast upon, you know, by mid-October against the Steelers. If things are not going the way they felt like as far as their receiver room, I would like to think that the Raiders secondary could key up on that. And maybe if the defensive line is able to keep, you know, Russell Wilson holding onto the ball a little too long, that could even benefit the Raiders even further. But the secondary could get tested and feast upon really, other than Pickens. If you take Pickens out of the game, then you really got something there.
Yeah, and we've talked about three different teams, and all of those teams' biggest roster holes are offensively, which plays right into the strength of the Raiders, which is their defense. Whether you're talking about their defensive line, the secondary, the linebackers, just as a collective group, any team that they're going to be playing that has some major issues or issues offensively, again, that sets up perfectly for the Raiders, who on their end, while they are blessed with a whole bunch of great weapons offensively, there's still great concern about the quarterback play. So they're gonna need to be able to, it works in their favor that they may be playing some offensively challenged opponents, although I don't know how offensively challenged the Miami Dolphins are, even with a bad offensive line. They've got such a good coach and such a good system. And Tua typically gets the ball out pretty quick, so can that mitigate, you know, the offensive line issues?
Yeah, but it makes you wonder, because Miami might have some struggles on both ends of the ball because they couldn't afford everybody, and they even let Vic Fangio go.
Right.
Vic Fangio moves on. Christian Wilkins moves on. Xavier Howard probably not likely to resign.
No.
they got some holes there on both sides of the ball. It's not infallible. But I think even for week one for the Raiders against the Chargers, if they're still trying to figure out and get, you know, who are the go-to wide receivers for week one, that could benefit the Raiders too.
For sure. And you're also dealing with an offense that's learning a new system, just like the Raiders are. And quite frankly, I think the Raiders defense is better than the Chargers defense, for sure. And so it's going to be a game of two offenses that are learning entirely new systems. Obviously, you give the edge at quarterback to Justin Herbert. I think the edge offensively for the Raiders are all the various weapons that they have. And, you know, if you're a Raider fan, you're hoping that your quarterback plays solid football and takes advantage of those weapons. And conversely, you have a defense that I think goes into that game as the strength of it'll be the best unit on the field for either team. And so you're hoping as a Raider fan that defense slows down the Chargers offense with a combination of their play and the issues that the Chargers offense is going through, learning a new system, not necessarily having these great weapons, even at running back as well. And that's going to be enough for the Raiders to win a season opening game in Los Angeles.
It's Vinny and Clay on your Friday here on Raider Nation Radio. Stay tuned. Mark McMillan will join us at the top of the next hour. former Eagles DB. He's in Philadelphia enjoying the good life, being treated like a king back there. We'll talk to him about the Raiders secondary and more here on Raider Nation Radio. And don't forget, the word of the day for your vacation dreams on the summer of fun is Speedo. S-P-E-E-D-O, Speedo. Text the word Speedo into 702-365-9200. It's the morning tailgate here on Raider Nation Radio on a Friday. It's Raider Nation Radio, Raiders Radio Network, with the call. Trayvon Merritt back after the highlight, the interception that sealed the win here on R&R 920 AM. Vinny and Clay, stay tuned. We'll talk to Mark McMillan in just a few minutes from Philadelphia. Former DB back home where it all began. You know, from the text line, 702-365-9200, a question is, keeps coming in day after day. If there was any information about any of the practices in Costa Mesa that are coming out, if they may open up anything for the fans, or even here in Las Vegas, if they might do something at Allegiant Stadium. They did one year. I don't know. Is there anything that might be on the horizon for that?
Nothing official yet. I know that based on our reporting, they were going to be allowed to, open the practices to their season ticket holders and mm-hmm. sponsors and, family, basically. Invited guests, but it's not a situation where so they'll have there will be fans there, but it's very structured and very limited. You can't, because this is the Chargers and Rams territory, and much like the Saints are going through the same issue.
Okay.
You can't just put on your social media, hey, go to our website. Register for a free ticket to come see practice today, mm-hmm. And be able to do that and just open it up to the masses in that way, the way the Chargers and the Rams can do. So as far as, non-season ticket holding fans and non-sponsors or family and friends, I don't know. Right now it's extremely limited because of, the reasons that we talked about, this, they're going into enemy territory, so to speak, or another team's, two teams, frankly, marketing region. They can't just go in there and do whatever they want. They have to stay within the rules and regulations.
Yeah, and I was, and that's just not going to change anytime soon. But maybe if if they come down to it, perhaps if they're able to work something out the week the Cowboys are here, maybe do something indoors at Allegiant Stadium. I don't know. I mean, even that could be difficult.
Probably
because
not, because they're going to be playing a game.
They're going to be playing a game, right? Right.
Yeah. So they're going to be playing a game that week. That doesn't mean that they can't have a joint practice with the Cowboys in Henderson. And the reason, for the Raiders and their practice facility in Henderson, which is where they've had training camp. And once, post COVID, where things opened back up, yes, they were able to have fans there. But again, it was on a limited basis because the space is limited. So it was always limited to season ticket holders, families and friends and sponsors. So they haven't been able to open it up to the masses here in Henderson as well. I would suspect that down the road, I don't know about this year, but certainly, down the road, they could start doing some things at Allegiant Stadium. As you mentioned, they had a scrimmage there back in, I forget what year, it might have been 2020 or 2021. So there's always going to be that possibility where at that point you could open it up to probably as many fans as you really want. But as of right now, no joint practices are scheduled against any teams anywhere, whether they're in California or back here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And to our knowledge, it's still limited to just the season ticket holders and various friends and sponsors in Costa Mesa. And when they return home to Las Vegas, I'm sure that's going to be the same exact policy.
Okay. 702-365-9200 is the number here on Raider Nation Radio. Did you see this story? It was a tweet out by AJ Brown, a post saying, why don't the wide receivers have an off-season summit? He goes on to say the tight ends get together for a week and the DBs link up. The pass rushers even get together. Come on, wide receivers. We can't be too big. Big time to link up and learn. I'm a fan of everyone and willing to work with whoever. AJ Brown sending out a plea to other wide receivers. I heard Charles Davis on the NFL radio saying, is this like Divas Unite? Is that what this is?
Is there a defensive back summit?
I think there is a DB summit. I think there is some. I know there's a TE University, right? And of course,
definitely a tight end.
Yeah, and Von Miller and Max Crosby now do the pass rush summit
together.
Definitely
that. There's an offensive line, group, but I don't know that there's a DB summit. Maybe that's something new. The problem for the wide receivers and the DBs is that you have to then invite DBs or wide receivers, because if you're a wide receiver in the NFL, the work that you're going to get against. At some point you're going to have to line them up against a DB, because that's who you're trying to, beat off the line of scrimmage, and that's half the battle right there. So who do you bring in to simulate that? Do you ask NFL defensive backs to come perform? Maybe they could do it.
And then they watch all your moves, and that kind of takes away a lot there.
So other than practicing against air, you'll be able to. To work on your footwork and release. I mean, not so much release, because you wouldn't have anybody there right in front of you. Your pass route running, and you can certainly work on all of those things. But I would imagine for the best work to get done, you'd have to have some credible DBs out there working against them. And because a lot of wide receiver work is also understanding what the defense is trying to do, what their look is, where they're rolling coverage. Being on the same page as your quarterback. Certainly you can work again on the footwork and the route running, but how much work can you actually get done if you don't have some viable players to work against?
Good point. All right, we'll take a break and come back with Grillin' McMillan. Mark McMillan joins us next here on Raider Nation Radio.